Om Shanti, good morning, and lovely to be here together and share this morning of Confluence Age. Om Shanti to our translators, doing a great job up there. So this is one of the last sessions for Group 7, so we thought to make it an open Q&A session, question and answer session. So thank you to those people who put a question in the box, which was here. And we have, to answer all your questions, some esteemed panellists. And I'll give you a short introduction of our panellists today and then hand it over. So first of all, on the far end there, we have Brother Peter from Australia. So Peter came to Baba in 1983 in Canberra, Australia, and moved into a centre after 1 year. So his passion was the cycle and drama and to reveal Baba through being in the combined form. And he's been based in Brisbane in Queensland since 2000, and is the state coordinator there. He's also a musician who's written and performed a number of songs for Baba. And then we have Brother Enrique. So Enrique is part of the national coordinating team in Spain. He took knowledge in Barcelona in 1986. He's based in Madrid, coordinating activities of Baba's centre there with his brother Bill. So he works as an executive coach and facilitates programs of leadership and well-being in companies and organizations, and he has two grandchildren. Then we have in the next chair there, Sister Gayatri. She was born and brought up in Mauritius. She has experience of over 45 years in Gyan. She is at present coordinating a few centres and forms part of the NC team and is the chairperson of BK's in Mauritius. And lastly, we have Sister Rona. So Sister Rona is over 30 years in Gyan, a medical doctor by profession, and for the last 17 years, a fully dedicated BK. She loves to study, to write, to sketch and experiment with a special focus on soul consciousness. And for the last 8 years, she has been in New York in Baba's Manhattan Center. So Peter has some questions there, and over to you, Peter and panel.
Thank you, Chris, for that warm welcome. And a big warm welcome to my fellow panellists. So today's discussion, we were told we had no topic and no particular format. It was just four of us were going to sit up on the stage and have a bit of a discussion. And I think that sounds like a fantastic idea. So, yeah, a few questions in my hand here. But I was thinking about the whole thing of harmonising sanskaras. And it sort of seems in some ways like, you know, that's the most difficult thing, or can be the most difficult thing for us to sort of achieve in Brahman life. Of course, it's a very mysterious thing to try and get to the heart of our Manmanabhava experience and our deep relationship that we have with Baba. But when we're interacting with each other, things can get tricky. Sometimes they're very basic. Sometimes they're very straightforward. And of course, you know, we have beautiful experiences many times. From the day one, when we meet a soul, you know, we just sort of hit it off and, you know, it's easy going. We both have similar aim in our Brahman life. We're going along. But harmonizing sanskaras. So I was wondering about this concept of effort. What inspires us to make effort? What actually inspires us to make effort? Yeah, yeah. Sister Rona, would you like to just give us a thought or two on that? What inspires you to make effort? Has it changed? Has it shifted over your Brahman life? What catapulted you into making effort in the first place?
I think the biggest thing is it made sense. growing up, a very privileged childhood and studying, but there was nothing really making sense. And studying medicine, I thought, okay, at least with that I can do some, make my life useful. But I very quickly on understood that the real suffering of human beings is not at a physical level. And all our learned professors and scientists, they did not really have a deeper answer. And Baba does. So it made sense. And I can't even say that I decided to make effort. I just felt this is useful, this is truth. I have never come across anything more valuable. So of course I will use my life for that. But this topic of harmonizing sanskars, one thought that came to mind when you were sharing is something someone shared this morning with me, one sister. Something Baba mentioned a few days ago, the importance of a vision, the vision and attitude, and the power of the vision of greatness. And it's a simple story about the monastery. And in the monastery, there were a lot of conflict amongst the nuns, and problems were there. And the main nun asked advice. And she was told, okay, this is the situation. But amongst all those, there is one who is a great saint. But I don't know whom. And so the nun started to interact with everyone with the vision, this one is the potential great one.
A great saint.
Saint. A great, Mahatma. And she started to interact with everyone. This one might be that potential great one. This one might be that potential holy one. So she started to listen, give respect to everyone. And it changed the dynamics.
Changed the whole group.
Yeah. And this is in any relationship, no? I think in the beginning when we meet, we see the beauty, we see virtues, we see the goodness. But after a while, you forget that. And Baba gives us this beautiful method. You see the angel. You see my child. You see what I see. And don't get trapped in the part and in the body-conscious sanskars that have been acquired. And if I can hold that for myself, I can also hold that for others. Whilst the game goes on. But I thought this is nice. if in a monastery the context can change, then for us it can change too. If we can hold that vision of greatness. Yeah. And without feelings, not to pretend or to fake, but truly feel, you are my brother, same father, same mother, same parents, same home.
So in the context of our Brahman life, this is really like a deep practice of soul consciousness, isn't it?
I feel so.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, not Rona, but the soul, the invisible living light in you. Invisible living light.
There's been a couple of questions here about soul consciousness, and I mean definitely I think we'd all agree that that's at the heart of everything. So for you, Enrique, how do you do soul consciousness? What happens if you wake up on any particular day and you don't feel particularly soul conscious? What would you do?
Well,
what would you do to elevate your soul conscious stage?
Well, I think Baba gives us many practices, no, to elevate our stage. And of course, not all the time I'm soul conscious. But I try to wake up and talk to myself, no? And especially talk to myself and say that, well, I say good morning, Baba, and then I try to feel that I'm this soul who incarnates in the body and starts the day. And then a thought that I like very much to practice is, I remember, I don't know if it was a Murli or it was some reflections of Brahma Baba in his diary, but he said something like, I'm separated from the body, no? I'm separated from the body. So this has become like a mantra for me. And in many places where I sit or I wait for something or I'm walking, I tell to myself, I'm separated from this body. I'm separated from this body. And I try to feel that I, the soul, I'm a conscious being and I'm moving the body. And it's very interesting because this is a big body and I feel I'm a little soul there. No, and it's a nice experience and gives us peace and calmness. So, and help me a lot also in interaction with others, connecting with harmonizing sanskars. Because when I connect with my role, with my responsibility, all these things that it seems like it's a good thing because we are responsible for Baba's service, no, we are responsible for the center, but it's very subtle. Then you start to sometimes to judge a little bit others, or you start to see others in a different way, and then some kind of tension starts there, no? But if I remind myself, I'm a soul, I'm an instrument, I'm here to do my best, then relationships change a lot. So I love very much the last Murli, when Baba said that he knows the horoscope of every child. And even the last one, he doesn't see the defects. So he knows that he has defects. So it seems so easy, no? To become like the Father is see defects but don't see them and just have this elevated attitude. Seems so easy. And then when we practice, we see it's so difficult, no? The old sanskars, they come and you judge or you suppose something or you assume something. So there are so many things, but if we practice and practice, just seeing the soul and seeing this elevated attitude, it happens. I want to explain a little story, personal story, about a situation with Brahmins. Many years back, when I was in Sevilla, running the center, there was, at that time, they came three brothers. They are still around. The three, they had mental problems. So they gave me a good training. All the three together. But one of them, when he started, he had very bad feelings towards me. He was very jealous and well, he was not completely right in the mind. So he expressed this to me. And he had a very bad face also, bad dristi, you know, looking at me in this way. And he came to the Murli also. But in the Murli, I think he was not listening to the Murli, just looking at me like this with a very strong face. So I was detached, reading the Murli to the ones who were in front, don't seeing him. But when I was giving drishti, I was really not affected by him, because I understood that he was some kind of mental problem. So I was having this attitude, seeing him like a king, putting him a crown and a garland. So I was visualizing him. He was with a very bad drishti, but I was looking the soul, no? For many days, it happened for a long period. And one day, he came to me and he said, you have won my heart. Now, tell me whatever you want, I will do it for you. So it's like he surrendered and I said, what is this? So then I thought, wow, what Baba is saying, it works. So I only have to to keep this elevated vision and don't see his drishti, don't see his attitude, don't try to connect with his feelings. This is his story. But I have to continue to practice what Baba says. And till then, till now, he is so a good friend of me. When I go there, what do you want? I want to buy something for you. So the impact has stayed for many, many, many years, no, no? So it's true what Baba says. We have to practice more, but it works.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess sometimes there's a situation, it can be a bit scary, right? But then potentially there are the greatest wins that come out of that. Yeah, yeah. So, Sister Gayatri, have you had any similar experiences to that? Any great sort of...
Soul consciousness.
Yeah, yeah. Soul consciousness, particularly just when interacting with others.
Okay. How I came in Gyan was that I was always looking for God. So, well, I happened to be questioning myself at night before going to sleep. I used to talk to God without knowing who you are, where you are, and so on. I say, if you really exist, you have to show yourself to me, who are you? And then we had a difficult childhood. We had some problems, family, father was drinking, and we were quite, at that time, we had lost our property, and we were physically poor, in inverted commas. So I was always looking, and I happened to be sitting when I took a lot of support from God even without knowing Him. When I was going for my exam or any difficult situation, I say, God, where are you? You help me. And I used to have a sort of dream in the beginning. But before I came in Gyan, I had one particular nightmare. And that nightmare showed me that I had suddenly become very, very big and huge. And I was afraid that if I come across people or anything, I might crush them. When I was taking a pen and writing something, the hand was so big that I couldn't handle the pen in my hand. And the next minute, I find myself becoming absolutely tiny, tinier than an ant. And I was wondering, now people will crush over me. And what? I said, well, God was trying to tell me that I'm a soul. And then when I grew up, I happened to be looking for God in different ways. So when I was going to school, I was going through a church. So I'm from Hindu background. But I went into that church and I said, where are you? Are you? Are you Christ? Are you God? Or even when I went to temple and I was doing prayer, I used to say, where are you? And then when I grew up, I started reading a lot. I had a small Bhagavad Gita, small book. And then also I read about other religions also. I read about Christianity and so on. And what happened is that when I came into Gyan, I came across few sayings from famous people. One of the sayings which comes to me even now, that was in French, it is, c'est pas que nous sommes des humains qui font des expériences spirituelles. It's not that we are human beings having spiritual experience. It's the other way around. We are spiritual beings living human experience. And that has stayed with me even now. Because soul consciousness is a journey for me. So like the other day, Brother Charlie was giving the different steps of Brahmin life. We move from an ignorant person going into soul consciousness, and then different phases we become Brahmins, and then we become students, and so on and so forth. So for me now, being an instrument, we are playing the role of instrument, and we realize that without soul consciousness and without a very sincere, loving, functional, powerful relationship with God, we cannot survive. So it's like 50-50. So one incident, it so happened that we were on a construction site in the center, and somebody came to help, and that person was very, very generous, giving his time, his energy, doing all the piece of work that was required on the site. So big amount of work he was doing. Then one of these days I had a call from her, his sister-in-law. And the sister-in-law on the phone kept on cursing me and saying that, you know, my brother-in-law has done so much work and then you are doing all these things and now he is sick. It's all because of you. It's all because of you. You know, in the beginning I said to Baba, I just stayed on the phone quietly and I said, Baba, what do I do? I went into deep silence and then I called Baba and I felt that Baba taking over my heart and my conscience, my heart and everything. There was no reaction from my side except there was a beautiful flow of compassion and love flowing from me like as an instrument going to the soul. And then later the soul realized herself that what she has done was wrong. She came back to me and then we are friends and just recently she left her body. And I was one of the last person to see her in the hospital. And she could not talk, she had a stroke and yet she was crying, like I could see the cries in her, the tears in her eyes. And I felt like, you know, we are all of us have our own personal pilgrimage going towards where we were supposed to be perfect beings, divine beings. And similar to Baba in the other way. Like, so that the journey is still on. These are some of the things I remember right now.
That's wonderful. That's so wonderful. Yeah. On that point of soul consciousness, so somebody's asked about having experience, you know, how does it feel to have soul consciousness for the first time? Now, it did sort of sound like it came from someone who was claiming never to have experienced soul consciousness. But that sort of sounds pretty radical. I would think everyone in this room must have experienced some level of soul consciousness. I don't know. Do you think so? Yes. I get one yes. Okay, all right. I do recall, the question made me think about the message that came through a couple of days after Brahma Baba left the body. And he was giving his account of the last 20 minutes or so in the body. And that was a really profound experience for me to read that message. And he spoke of reaching a certain... he spoke of reaching complete deep soul consciousness and silence. And he spoke of it as if he'd never had that experience before. You know, for all of his experience in the body, over all of those years with Shiv Baba, with him and so on, there was still more. There was more to be had. And he experienced that complete stage in those last 20 minutes or so in the body. So, yeah, I mean, somebody's asked too about talking to Baba, and I was thinking how, well, it's got to be deeply, deeply connected to soul consciousness and having the experience. If I'm in the experience of soul consciousness, then I can have the experience of connecting to Baba, because there's no other way, right? Is there another way? You know, we can stare at the picture, but, you know, these sorts of things, right? We can listen to Baba's songs, we can listen to Baba's praise being spoken, sung, whatever. But when it comes to having a deep experience, like knowing Baba, who he is, what he is, then it does firmly rest on our own state of soul consciousness. Now, I'm just wondering about that. What's everyone's experience with that? I mean, anyone? Anyone like to pipe up and share something that's come from this?
Well, the experience has been that it grows and evolves. And of course, from the beginning, there are experiences. Just receiving the knowledge itself was such a joy. Finally, understanding certain things that before were just a blur and confusion, that is so liberating. And meeting other Brahmins, the taking on purity. There are so many levels of joy or the experience of peace and quiet, or when your thoughts begin to slow down, useless thoughts become less. They're all different, how to say, angles of coming to what ultimate experience, so to say. Even the first time when I began to understand the soul world and the experiences of that deep silence and timelessness, these are, I feel, all aspects of a growing awareness of what soul consciousness really means. And over time, more study, more experimentation, it deepens and it broadens and it widens. And I guess that is what you're also describing, Brahma Baba. It is not that that is his first time that he has an experience, but he maybe at that time has the full blast, complete, ultimate picture. So I feel it is a journey, but a journey of joy. It is not that, oh, when I get there, I will be happy. But every insight, every moment, every new insight, every new feeling, it adds to, even in the beginning, you hear, okay, I'm not a body or a soul, you're just a point of light. Just hearing that is so liberating, but the experience of that deepens, and what does it mean, point of light? It has so many different aspects. I got lots of intoxication when Baba spoke in the early 70 Murlis of the soul as a guest, the soul as a traveler, a visitor, in this body, a visitor on this planet. That is the basis for the angelic stage, he says. So that adds a new layer to the experience of soul consciousness. And initially, you could only have glimpses of it when you sit down in meditation or Amrit Vela. But more practice, more understanding, even in actions, going about your day, using that perspective of the traveler, for example, or a trustee. So the experiences grow over time, and it becomes a very rich base to fall back on. And of course, Baba, moment I can drop ego, moment I get into that awareness of the self as this not human spiritual being, Baba is there, full blast. And this is such a beautiful experience. But that also, it grows over time. You understand Baba better, you experience in different relationships, you begin to see what he sees and how he sees and what he knows and how he feels. Wow. It's like a growing thing, I think. It's not a one-time, first-time soul consciousness. We grow into it. At least this is my experience.
Yeah, definitely. So, Enrique, your experience here.
I would like to build on that, because I agree that it's a journey, and you are building this experience, and at the same time, for each one is a very personal journey. For some, they receive an experience at the beginning, others they receive an experience in the middle, so it's different, no? For example, for me, I was a very experiential person before coming to Gyan. I wanted to experience many things, different things. So Baba gave me an experience the first day, and this was my... I remember I went to the center, I was invited for another person, and we have a chit-chat with the sisters there, and then one sister said to me, because I was already meditating, "Do you want to meditate in the room?" And I say, "Oh, yes, why not?" So we sat there, And at that time there were no chairs, only carpet, and there was this point of light, plastic red. So it was very interesting because I entered there and then Brahma Baba's face, round picture, blue picture, no, painted, not photo. So I sit there and say, is a plastic there? What means this plastic? Well, it's a rays of light, and the face was very nice, no? So she puts a little bit of music and I sat there, and suddenly I had an experience of completely detachment from the body, peace in my mind, the body was very calm. It was like a shower of, or more than a shower, cascade of peace, no? But it was in 2 minutes, so I didn't do anything. So the sister put off the music, and I say, what is this? What is this? And she says, I don't know. What happened to you? And I say, I had this experience. I said, what is this? So she was saying, well, what happened to this person? No? I say, I want to have more experience. So she said, well, took the course next week. Next week? No. I need now. So come tomorrow. So she was a little bit afraid of me. So Baba gave me this experience. I didn't know what was soul conscious, but it was really an experience of being in a state that I said, I want this, I want this, I want more of this. So then I decided to gather this energy and this experience and not to lose it for any reason. And it helped me a lot in many different difficult situations to say, hey, don't lose this beautiful experience because of this situation. No? So it was a gift. It was not my experience. And then you have to do the effort. Then is the journey, no? And you have to make the effort to reach this experience, but in I would say, by your efforts, no? Not just a gift. So I think sometimes Baba gives us gifts, and we have to appreciate them, but then we have to do the practice to reach that.
So initially for you, you didn't really have to make effort, you just got an experience.
Exactly. Yeah. I got an experience, and then I had to do the efforts, but I was motivated to do the efforts, no? To reach, and I still am motivated to, because not always I have this experience. You know, you lose it or you. But I it's like you eat something and you have the taste. Now you know. You don't have always the same food, but when you have it, oh, you taste it and you say, oh, this is wonderful.
So, okay, I guess we've all had some experiences where we sort of chase those experiences again. I mean, Gayatri Ben, Rana Ben, did you have that sort of experience at the beginning where Baba gave you something and then you knew what you were chasing? Or was it different? Was it different? So Gayatri, sister.
I can't recollect exactly how I graduated from that state of knowledge to practice. I don't remember any such event. But I know for me it was more a thirst for knowing more and more and more. So, and the first blessing I had when I came in Gyan was, every day I used to go to the center, I used to, you know, run away from my work. So I said to my colleague, you know, you, if somebody else for me, say I'm here, I'm around. So I used to travel and then went, because I couldn't stay without going to the center. So 15 minutes, 5 minutes, but I have to go to the center. So I remember I was tactless, didn't have tact. So when I was so amazed with the knowledge, I said to my mom, you're not my real mom, you know. And she was wild eyes and about to, you know, wow. So many days, sir, I have been looking after you since you have taken birth and now you say I am not your mother. She got hurt and I said, well, this is the truth, because God is my mother, God is our mother, but these were the things. And then I slowly learned that to be more, you know, tactful and how to give gyan. We had no idea of how to share this knowledge, but I was amazed. And the very first blessing, you know, nowadays we have very beautiful cards and so on. And I think it was, there was a sister from Delhi, from Sister Vimla, from South Extension, somewhere around. So she said, you know, yes, yesterday you missed meditation, so I have kept something for you. So she had a handful of small papers in her hand, and I said, you just pick up one. And one of the papers that I happened to see, it was words of Baba's Murli.
Jnani tu atma mujhe priya lagte hai. In knowledgeful soul, you are loved by me. So I knew that I'm on the right track. I have to go more and more in digging into the knowledge, exploring. So that was only one thing I remember from my childhood days of moving away from body consciousness to soul consciousness. So learning by experience.
So for you, was it through knowledge that you really got your experience of soul consciousness?
Yeah, I used to sit early in the morning. I said, no, I have to get an experience. So I used to get up at 2 a.m. I said, 2 hours I'm going to sit. So it was more like forceful, trying to, you know, but it was mostly like repetitive. I have to realize, I used to talk to myself, are you a soul? Are you going to soul consciousness? What does it feel like? It was more exploring the knowledge into feeling, but little, it's very subtle. I can't put it into words. That's it.
Can be difficult. Yeah. I can remember having an experience once of where I was reading the Merli in the class, in the morning class, and halfway through the Merli, I just suddenly found myself, it was like I was in the soul world. And I was still reading. And I could see out of where I was, and I could see these hands holding the paper, and I could hear the words coming from my mouth. It was like that, and it went for a couple of minutes, something like that, and then I just sort of landed, came back into my body, and I was still reading, and I didn't stop. I didn't have to start again, or nothing happened, you know. But then I was talking. I didn't speak with anyone about it at the time, but then later that day I was walking with another Brahmin who was in the class, another Sentawasi actually, and we were just discussing things, and I said, you know, I had this amazing experience. It was as if I just went to the soul world in the middle of the Merli this morning. And he said, yes, it was at the point where Baba said, da, 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 and he knew exactly when it had happened. He really felt it happen, you know. And it was quite an amazing thing. I don't know. I felt at the time, it was just like Baba was showing me what's possible. You know, I've never really had that same level of experience again. But sometimes I sit down in the class to read them early and I think, right, I'm ready. If you want to take me now, you know. I'm ready to go. I'll have that experience again any day. Yeah. I mean, anyone had a similar sort of experience or similarly inspiring experience, even though it might be different to that?
Well, there were, in the beginning, when now looking back, I can kind of analyze and see what happened. But when the mind is absorbed in jnana, when the mind is absorbed in some more subtle thought or feeling, then you touch on that state of freedom and soul consciousness and being with Baba. And initially, that happens from time to time, but you don't know why. Like you're saying, I'm reading Murli. At that time, only Murli is in the mind. And so you're as if, for a few moments, freed from all the thoughts about the false identities that are there or the tasks. So you as if touch on that. And later on, that becomes then a basis for practice. And there are two things that I remember happening when I came to Baba and I began to realize the vastness and the depth and the greatness of this knowledge. I wanted to stop my medical studies. I thought, what am I going to study that for? I have the real knowledge and I want to just study this. I want to learn this. And I really stopped going to university for some time. I don't remember, a few weeks. But the sisters in the center found out. And they told me, why are you hanging around here all day? Don't you have to go? I said, no, I've stopped. And they told me, if you stop, you cannot come to the center. And at that time, there were no Murlis online, so the only way to get Murli. But such was the intoxication. Just listening to Murli, writing Murli, because mind is freed from all these junk thoughts that were there initially. Of course, you need to learn to deal with the world without being immersed in that. But that was one experience. But later on I realized it is because intellect and mind find something higher, deeper, and is immersed in that. So the feelings that come from that are very elevated. And so now I consciously use my mind like that whenever there is that attention.
Enrique, you're going
to
add?
Yes, I want to add because I agree also that with knowledge you create this subtle vibration inside yourself and it's more easy to become soul conscious. But also there is another situation that you can experience this, even if it's not so pleasant, but it's when you surrender to the drama and to Baba in a particular situation that is maybe beyond your capacity at that moment. And then Baba takes you to another level. So it's not your effort. The effort is to surrender. And I will give you an example. When I was in Sevilla, now I'm based in Madrid, but 20 years back I was running the center there. I organized a lecture for Anthony Strano. And I didn't give lectures at that point. So I organized everything. I put the posters. I did everything because we were just a few of us, two or three souls. And 4 days before coming, he phoned me and said, I'm sorry, I cannot come. I'm sorry very much, but it's not possible for me. I say, well, but it's everything is organized, the posters and all the city knows, and I've hired a big hall. Okay, no problem, you give the lecture. I say, I give the lecture? But I've never done this. No, you, Baba will help you. Baba will help me. So it was really, I was sitting in the first row, and I was listening that many people were coming, but I didn't want to look, no? So my heart was beating so much, it was like going out from my mouth. It's not exaggerating. And my mind was two things, two dialogues. One, you are able, go for it. And the other one, no, I'm becoming ill. I will say to them, I'm ill, I'm sorry, I go home, I cannot give. So both dialogues, no? But inside myself, I was saying, Baba, this is the situation. I don't know what to do, but is this so? And then suddenly someone pushed me, like, no one, it was Baba. And I went in the front, and suddenly I saw the hall completely packed. People standing also there, not chairs enough. And I was looking and saying, Baba, please help me. So, when you surrender, he takes you to another level. So I start to talk, and something was coming to my mouth. I didn't know what it was. Suddenly I was blank. My mind was completely blank. And I was giving drishti without giving drishti, you know? I was looking at everyone like this. Everyone was completely in silence. Me too. Only Baba. And suddenly I said, okay, let's be honest. And I say, I don't know what to say. I'm blank in my mind. And people were laughing, ho ho ho, like it was a joke. I was thinking, it's not a joke. So this gave me again energy, and Baba inspired me again, and I continued to talk. At the end, I finished. They applauded me. They were so happy. And I said, Baba, what's this? And they came to me and they say, oh, the joke you made about stopping, taking our attention, and saying that you don't have anything in your mind was perfect, was wonderful. I say, oh, thank you. So then I realized that when you surrender, there is a part of you who is body conscious, no? You are worried, the body is. But there is another part that goes beyond all this. Even it's happening inside, you have this unpleasant experience. But at the same time, there's something that takes you beyond. and you are able to do something that you are not used to, and even give an experience through you, Baba can use you. So then I realized that, wow, I have a good companion, and I can do things beyond my capacity. So it was a big move forward.
That. Yeah, it's great. It instills a lot of faith when you have exactly. that experience, faith, doesn't it? Yeah. You realize, oh my God, why was I thinking this is me?
Exactly.
Why was I thinking that I would have to do this? Yeah, it's crazy. Mm.
Growing up in a Dutch country, speaking only Dutch and English, and at some stage there was an invitation to go to a Spanish-speaking country in the Caribbean, Dominican Republic. And I didn't know the language, I didn't know the culture, I didn't know the people, didn't know the country, didn't know anything or anyone there. And you're just... Initially there was a translator, but then the translator is gone. And there are a huge crowd of people there. And nothing, you know, your whole education, your training, you can't speak, you can't do anything. So I just took out a board and started sketching. And I think that was the best lecture ever happened. Brahmins took birth through that, just sketching. And the feeling, and also later on, once the nervousness is gone, you feel so quiet. And that is when Baba can come true. When ego is gone or sufficiently crunched, just sketching. You can't even draw properly. And few words, paz and amor, and and Brahmins take birth through something like that.
Yeah.
Was whenever you're intellectually preparing your big talk. Mm.
That's not how it's going to be.
Well, maybe that is also good at some stage, but deeper inside, when truly we can drop body consciousness, or are forced to, you can't hold on to all these things that you take support from, then truly service.
So the effort then is perhaps the effort to let go, but then is that an effort? What sort of an effort do you make to let go? How do you make effort to let go? I was thinking when you were both speaking there, you've allowed yourself to be vulnerable. You've said, yes, Baba, what other choice do we have? What other reasonable choice do we have? Nothing. I have to do this. Yeah. So you've allowed yourself to go there, to stand up there or whatever, and not knowing what was going to happen next. But then... through it comes. Yeah. And there's faith in that. Faith in is instilled. So is that an effort? Gayatri Ben, have you got any thoughts on that?
I think I would rather dwell on my present effort. It's okay with you.
Absolutely.
You know, we have a group just emerged a few years ago. It's at international level is Shiv Shakti leadership approach. So we had a lot of input to work on ourselves. And during the same wake of making effort, one of the things came to my mind, it was for Diwali. I said, let me work on only one murli. So we had a small group, we took one murli on light. And for 21 days, we divided it in 21 points. And it was a very beautiful experience we had, like a lot of lightness. And then I said, well, and then I came across a murli of 1987, where Baba says that the Shiv Shakti Pandav army has got one sacred weapon. And that weapon, non-violent, special, unique, is the power of silence. So I took this Murli, and we had a small group, our own group in the center. We divided it into Murli into 26 points for 13 months. And for 13 months, we started with December to finish in December 2025. I'm especially sometimes concerned about what's happening over the whole world. And I say silence unites the whole energy of all Brahmins. Somewhere there's a convergence without our knowing. Somewhere there's a meeting point where there's some sort of synergy operating. And I say, well, never mind. Every day, almost every day, we say Om Shanti. You know, the word peace comes again and again. So we divided into 26, and then we took on December. The divided into 26, and I still remember. And in the Murli, that when I read the early morning Murli, I take this one as the basic points from my Amrit Vela, and also for the whole day as a background, on which I build up the Avyakt signal. I combine the Avyakt signal, and I combine the connected to the in silence. I work over that. And then I take all the main points, the question answer, the essence, question answer, the song, if there's any song, then I take the last 2 points, the blessing, the slogan and everything. I find that it makes a package for me. And when I read, go through the Murli, I feel just before Murli, when we are about to start, about 15 minutes or so, I find like there's a flow of, all these things coming together, whatever Baba said in Murli, and what's come to my mind, and I feel that this is not me. I know this is not me. And the flow is there, so I just give a sense of what I have been feeling, all grounded in silence. So I speak more slowly, because I feel that the words are not coming from me, the words are coming from Baba, and I feel that it's filtering. It's going to all the souls who need to pick up. So we have a group mostly following on transmission. And there's a chat sometimes going on. They pick up the thread from there. And I feel that we are in a very small country, tiny point of light. Even world map, it doesn't exist. Most of the world map. And it's like a stranded island, I would say, so to say. So we're cut off from mainland. But somehow this experience of going into silence makes me feel that we are really a huge army. A huge army, and then when I follow Mohini Ben's point, Avyakt family, Avyakt Parivar. And when I listen to her, I feel that some of the things I've been experiencing, some of the things that she speaks, it's like it's coming from high authority, and that I align myself, and I feel like to be sort of the huge family that we are having, that indeed it's a wonderful family, and everything goes more in terms of our vibrations and frequencies. I find an alignment, and when seeing at the world or the way things are going on, I say we happen to be, it's okay, geographically we say small island in the sense we have everything, but in spite of that sometimes I feel that it does give sometimes this feeling of isolation, but then I feel that I can feel that Baba is picking up all of us. We are special souls, unique souls, and that uniqueness, Baba is converging it into something like each one has got a role, and every Brahmin has got something very unique to contribute for Baba's task, and somewhere somehow we need to be just like the latest Murlis of Yagdvani Baba has been speaking about. We need to have this instrument consciousness and humility. I am dwelling more on those things more and more, and I feel that the more we stay in silence, the more we can convey Baba's message. We become channels. Like for December, the point for the Murli was on the silence was the three methods of how we operate through silence was. Baba say you challenge, even that Murli was that you challenge nature that you are going to change, but can't you change human beings with your thoughts? So it was the three things, creating elevated thoughts, and those elevated, I take it from the daily Murli, to be in line with timing and in universal work all of us are doing together. So good wishes, pure feelings, and the language of good wishes, pure feelings, and the language of the eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this time for January, it's something very interesting. Baba says, like science has been using wireless now. So instead of going and telling people, you do this, people pick up the thought and they do it. Like synchronicity, it happens like in a very secretive way, and it operates. So for me, it's like it encompasses my whole heart, and thinking goes into that. How we can converge it, it's more non-spoken language. More in terms of vibes.
Sure, okay. Actually, there's a question about understanding touchings. And this is for everyone. It's just for everyone to have a think about, and if anyone would like to answer. But it's an old question. I'm sure you've heard it before. If I have a thought from Baba, how do I know it is an accurate touching? And then it's been added. What if I really feel something is right, but no one accepts it? So I'm guessing that person feels that they've had a touching, they feel that it's right, but those around them don't feel that it's right. What does one do in that situation?
Can you repeat the question?
If I have a thought from Baba, how do I know it is an accurate touching? I mean, the first question is it an accurate touching?
Is it an accurate touching?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm asking. What if I really feel something is right, but no one accepts it? So that's the second part to the question. And I guess they're related. Yeah. Now, this could go to anyone or everyone. So, and I might ask for a short but sweet, please, because we're sort of closing off in time in 15 minutes. We need to close up.
Can I respond?
You may.
I feel that if it is touching from Baba, you'll have majority of people agreeing to the idea. Majority of the souls who are in touch with agrees.
Correct.
Yeah. If there's no one accept, it means like it's not time for your thought yet. It might be your thinking. It's not coming from Baba. And recently we had something going on for January. We always think that for Brahma Baba's day, we had to do something special. So this year, we had a lot of things. All of us, all centers have their own agenda. So it so happened that there were visitors from Shantivan who came to Mauritius for a tour. And then I was asking one of the brother who is closely connected to Godlywood somewhere or other, I say, how come your screening the film, the light everywhere, but we don't have access to it. Can't we say, no, don't worry, I'm going to see Godlywood and see to it that something can be done. And in January, beginning January or something, this one sister from Godlywood, you know, sent me a message that you'd like to have this film. I said, yes, are you ready to come? She said, yes, I'm ready to come. And then I said to the sisters in the island that, would you like to have the film, the light screened in the cinema hall? So most of the centers pounced on it, except one center. They didn't say no, but they were not against also. And we had this film, we say, Brahma Baba's life. And we took, I don't look at worldly matters so much. So I didn't even know we had nice cinema halls in the island, surprising. So I was asking the brothers and sisters, do we have cinema hall? They say, yes, you don't know? I say, no, I don't know. So we started exploring the idea, and we had, there were so many people wanting to come to see the screening of the film. So we had it one common one for all the people, for 50% because 50% contact souls. And everybody was amazed looking at the film. There was so much that we had to replicate it in another part of the island. We took another cinema hall. And then that could be said when we say about touching. I feel that maybe for that country at that time, it was meant to happen. And more than me, I think the people who benefited from it we had the feedback they gave was wonderful. This is one idea of touching.
Lovely. Okay. Thank you. Anything to do with touchings? I mean, how do you interpret
short
touchings?
Yeah, I think many times we have good ideas or good thoughts, and maybe it can be a touching. But the first thing I would do, this is my experience, is to share with someone, to share with the instrument, to share with the team, just to check what others think. So if there is a touching, as Sister said, everyone agrees very quickly. But sometimes it doesn't happen. And maybe it's the good thought, but there is another lesson there to learn. And I remember when I started in Gyan, the first year, I was very involved in service with good ideas, and we were very few and many things to do. And so I offered one idea, and I was sure that it was a very good idea, but it was rejected directly. I felt really bad at the beginning, but then, well, I was detached. 6 months later, in another meeting, another soul brought the same idea, and everyone agrees. And then the idea was there, put it into practice. And I was thinking inside, I didn't say anything, this was my idea. But then I realized that Baba was teaching me something, no? That maybe you get the good touching, but you have to let go also. So it's like being the master and the child, no? You have an idea, okay, share it, say it, bring it to the team, whatever, and then let go. And if it has to happen, it will happen.
Yeah, like yesterday's blessing. Sister Rona, what about you? Any thoughts on the matter?
generally understanding the condition of the mind and the intellect at the end of the cycle. I don't trust the thoughts that necessarily come up. And they might be nice thoughts, but they can come from some ego, some deeper thing underneath. So first, I feel it should be in line with Murli, because Baba truly is the ultimate authority. He doesn't really need my mind to give me a touching. He can tell me through Murli. And then I can trust it more. Because even if there is a touching, and even if it is true, it is very quickly that ego say, oh, I have a touching. Or I am right, because it was a touching from Baba. And we can get easily into this fussy. I don't want to go there. And if for whatever reason I can't get clarity through Murli, then I will ask instruments or team. And maybe like what Enrique was sharing, sometimes there is a deeper lesson even though the thought is good. But it is still useful for me to learn a deeper lesson, another lesson. So I would not easily say I got a touching from Baba, because I don't feel. Even Brahma Baba had many things clarified through Dadiji, you know, she had little Muni clarifying many, or reinforcing certain things, or Dadi Gulzar. So I try to be on the safe side. Of course, ultimately the aim is that our mind and intellect will become like Baba's. But we'll get there.
Yeah, it's a long journey indeed, an enjoyable one, but there's a lot of incidences where, I've definitely had that experience of having to sort of let go of what I thought was a good idea, and because there are always a lot of good ideas. It's only one good idea. And so what? Maybe it is a good idea, but it needs to be put on file and brought out later or something like that. Who knows?
I don't want to diminish. Sometimes you do have certain thoughts, and it is in the intimacy of your interaction with Baba. And cherish that. Enjoy that and feel proud of it. But there doesn't need to be a show of that either. And if it comes to service or service ideas, Baba has said so many things in Murtis. Baba has so many instruments. Why should I be the old one with the great idea?
Yeah. Here's a sort of an interesting one. I'm not quite sure what you'll make of it, how you'll interpret it. But when someone is dishonest, how do you interact with them? How do you encourage them to become honest? How do you encourage a dishonest person to become honest? Perhaps there's a bit of dishonesty in all of us anyway. So.
The only thing I can think of is me being honest. Me being honest.
Me being honest.
Yeah. And honest doesn't necessarily mean the words are the right or the truthful words, but also the stage is right, the vision is right, the attitude is right. Let me check that before I accuse anybody else about being dishonest. I remember Dari Janki one time saying this. There was some chit-chat and someone was saying, oh, but this person is being dishonest. And she said, but you are also deceiving yourself. I mean, Daddy was like that, no? So who am I to judge where people coming from, what the sanskars? Okay, but let me hope that, make the effort for the self to be in that right space. And then that may be an inspiration for others, maybe not, but at least let me shine Baba's light.
Enrique, let me add something. Just to, because how do you know that this person is dishonest? No, I would challenge myself, because I've learned through the many years and experience that my point of view, my interpretation, my perception is not the right one. It's my. So I've learned, asking questions and having conversation, that what I was thinking maybe that it was dishonesty, it's a different perception of the same reality. So it's like a judgment, no? If you say, how can I make this person honest if she's or her is dishonest? So I would say, well, maybe you need to understand more the situation, or have a conversation, or ask questions, but don't try to put a label to the other person, no? Is dishonest? Because maybe it's not. It's just thinking in a different way than you, no?
Yeah.
So we never know. But sometimes I've realized that listening and understanding the other person gave me a completely different perception of the same situation. I say, wow, I have not thought about this in this way. So, well, let's understand also what the other point of view, no? So what would you say?
Sister Gayatri, anything to add?
I have found out that most of the time the answer comes from the Murli. So Baba will speak about lies and so on. And then it's not that we, I lay emphasis on the points where it is, but I feel the authority that the Murli holds itself is enough for the soul to get a signal. We don't underline it and so on, because I believe that everybody believes in the Murli. That's why in the Murli class, sooner or later they will get the touching from Baba, that what they are doing is not that. We just provide the spiritual empowerment, that they get the cue from the Murli and from the vibrations that are in the family, because it might be minor compared to the great work that is being done by all the rest, all of us. That's it.
And in a sense, body consciousness is falsehood, no? So we're all living to some extent at certain times in dishonesty. So let me focus on self.
I was thinking too that if I could see that soul's past and what they've been through even in this life, my heart might really go out to them, and I could understand, you know, if they are dishonest on a gross sort of a level, why that might be the case, what it is they're protecting or feel that they believe that they have to protect. Even if it's not necessarily right, but they've got that feeling. And it's probably formed a big habit too, which is not something that one can break or even see that easily.
And maybe the real help is if we can see them in their original and eternal state, instead of rubbing it in. This is dishonest.
Nothing worse than rubbing it in. Yeah.
That vision of greatness.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. Look, thanks everyone. We've come to our time. Brother Enrique, Sister Gayatri, Sister Rona, been a real pleasure. Thanks for the discussion. Thanks for listening in. Sorry we didn't get around, or I didn't get around to asking if the audience had anything to add. But we've come to the point where Sister Chris must come on and do her thing.
Yes, so thank you, panelists, brothers and sisters and everyone, for a very interesting conversation with many different perspectives and thoughts on different topics.